Today I'm talking on true connection. I'm talking about the power of the other. And I have a question that we're going to start with, and actually it's a really profound question. And whether you can, your ability to answer this question at any given time has actually got life-changing consequences for you. And, you know, when we look in the Bible and we look in the story of Genesis, one of the first questions that God asked was a question to Adam and Eve, because they were hiding and he couldn't find them, but he really knew where they were. But the question was, where are you? Where are you? Did some of you say here? You are here. You are here. You're physically present. That's true. But God was getting to more than that, wasn't he? He wasn't just, he knew where they physically were. He knew actually why they were hiding. But what he did is he asked that question because he knew that they weren't in the right place internally. He knew that something had changed. A disconnection had taken place because he could feel it. He knew that they were withdrawing from him. And so therefore, he was asking the question, where are you? Not for his benefit, but for their benefit. And every day and at different times in our lives, it's good for us to do a bit of a self-awareness check and say to ourselves, where am I? What am I doing? Am I in the right place? What's going on inside of me that I've chosen to say or do that when really I know that that's not the right thing to do? So where are you is the question. And actually, there are four areas. We're going to call them corners, but there are four areas of connection, because God was talking about our connection with him, but also connection with each other, because obviously within that, what went on there with Adam and Eve, there can be issues there of blaming one another, blaming someone else, someone not helping us, etc. So I'm going to draw. I don't think I've ever done this at the front, have I? I'm going to draw this. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to call this a map to find your network or connection, okay? Now we've got four corners here, yeah? So we've got the first corner, and the first corner of connection. Now, at any one time, we can find ourselves in these corners. So when they come up, you know, just feel restful about it, but there is a question being asked of all of us this morning about where are we? Where do we find ourselves? Where are we on the inside? What's really going on in our lives, okay? So here, we've got disconnection. You may or may not be able to see that, but I'm sure you can hear my voice. Disconnection. Here, in this corner, we've got bad connection. Here, down here, we've got what's called a fake connection. Or a pseudo connection. I will put that down. But really, that means a fake connection. And just here, we've got a true connection. Can you see that? Okay, so here's the four corners, and at any one time, we can be in those corners. But there is only one corner that is going to help us to thrive and grow in life and where we reach our potential. And anyone want to take a guess what corner that is? So it's corner four. So we're going to call this corner one, corner two, corner three, and corner four. Now, we're going to go through these corners to see what it looks like to be in these corners, okay? And I was kind of thinking about this, and I was just thinking about, in my house, because I live in a village, I don't always get signal in all the areas in my house, and I have to go to different rooms to get a connection. So I'll be on the phone will ring. Now, if I'm in the corner in my living room and the phone rings and I pick it up, this is my mobile, no one's there. What's going on? So I have to move and walk somewhere else to get a connection. But then I could even be over here somewhere else, you know, kind of like in the hallway. And so I'm on my way somewhere, so I'm in the hallway, and I might be able to hear some of it, but it's a bit of a bad connection, okay? And then sometimes people phone me up, and they're not people that I really want to phone me up. Anybody get that? Like callers from people trying to make you feel good, making you, trying to sell you something. So, you know, and then I end up having a bit of a fake connection. I'm not really interested in them. They're not really interested in me. So, you know, I just move into the area where I know I'm going to get disconnected. Okay? All right? But then sometimes I get a true connection and my besties will phone me, or I'll phone my besties and I know exactly where I need to be to hear from this person, and so they can hear from me, okay? And they're my besties and that's my true connection. And I might share a little bit about who my significant others are at some point in this, because actually we all need significant others in our lives. And when I say significant others, so in here, we get disconnected. We get disconnected and isolated, usually because we've experienced some kind of woundedness or hurt or damage, or we trusted someone and they didn't come through for us. So what we've done is we've withdrawn into corner one, because trusting people or our experience of significant others, like maybe our parents or, you know, spouses at times, or, you know, just people in authority over us, haven't treated us right. And so what we've done is we've retreated here. And here, we're isolated. We feel alone. But actually, to a certain degree, we feel a bit safe. But that's kind of like a false safeness. So we might feel safe and we might do this. But then after time, because we've been wired, so we've got like a GPS that is saying, like, we're searching for connection, for true connection, okay? So because we're wired, every now and again we'll come out of here. Hello. We'll come out and we'll kind of like test the waters again. But sometimes what can happen then is we then jump into corner two and we get into a bad connection. We connect with someone who maybe, even though they may not be bad people, some of them are, some of them we have, you know, there are some people that are out to hurt people. That is true, you know, there is. But we get into a bad connection, and what that means is, it doesn't mean that the person is bad, but what it means is being with that person and doing life with that person or connecting with that person leaves you feeling bad about yourself. And most of us, because we're human, we already have a tendency to do that anyway, right? So with our own devices, here we are, all by myself. You remember Bridget Jones? All by herself. That's one of my favorite scenes, actually. She's all by herself because she hasn't got a significant other in her life. Her own mother, to a degree, has been a bad connection because she doesn't approve of her and she never affirms her, and she thinks that unless she's in a relationship with Prince Charming, she's just not a normal girl. Yeah? So Bridget Jones, as we know, she puts on weight. So we get this bad connection where we feel bad about ourselves. So then what do? We run down here. We think, well, enough of this. It's boring being by myself. This is making me feel so bad. Hey, I need to go and do some stuff that's going to make me feel good. Party, okay? Let's party. So, number three, pseudo-fake connection, is that we connect in ways that make us feel good. So they're satisfying that need to feel good because we feel so bad and we feel so alone. So just using Bridget Jones here, if I may. Sorry, chaps, because I know that chaps do this too, but I'm just using Bridget Jones, okay? So here she is on her couch listening to sad songs. She tries to make connections. Her mum makes her feel bad. She ends up down here where what she's doing is she's meeting with friends, and they're nice friends. They are her friends, but they're encouraging her to drink loads. So she's drinking bottles of vodka like there's nobody's business. She's entering into relationships with people that aren't good for her. And so what she's doing is she's trying to satisfy and soothe her soul, because you see, she's searching for a connection. She's searching for a real connection. But many of us do this. It's called self-medication. It's like, and it's almost like taking painkillers. We take painkillers, don't we, when we're in pain? But they don't actually deal with the problem, do they? They don't deal with the symptoms. But so what we have to do is, when we've taken some 4 hours later, we're going to have to take another dose, right? And when we're in here, where we're in this stuff that makes us feel good, and it could be a wrong relationship, an illicit relationship, dare I call it the affair or something like that. The affair sounds quite glamorous, doesn't it? And Hollywood does glamorize the affair. But actually, relationships where people are not available are not true connections. It's a fake connection, but what it does, it's feeding that I need to feel good, somebody make me feel good, something make me feel good, so I'll go home and eat all the crisps. Hello? That's me. All the crisps. Every single one of them, from when I open it. In fact, I'll tell you now, you know my favourite place to go outside of here is Sainsbury's. Okay, so sometimes on my way home from Sainsbury's, I buy a big packet of crisps, usually the ones that are on offer so that I don't feel so guilty, and by the time I get home, they're all gone. Okay, so I know that we all do this, we all do stuff to make us feel better, but you know what? It actually makes you feel sick, doesn't it, after you've done it? When you've actually eaten a big whole thing of crisps, it makes you feel sick. And so it doesn't do what you wanted it to do. It made me feel good for the journey over. And then when I got home, I felt so sick I couldn't even eat my good food. Do you know what I'm saying? And so we see that people get into addictions. People get into wrong relationships. People become shopaholics. I know I'm hitting some people this morning, okay? I know this might be a bit difficult for you, but that's okay, because you know what? We need to be aware of what our true condition is. We need to be aware, self-aware, of what our true condition is, who we really are, not the person that we pretend we are to everyone else. We need to know who we truly are and what we're dealing with. And what we need is we've been wired for connection, but we've also been wired to need help. We need others. Think of a baby that is born. There is nothing more vulnerable than a baby, right? It can't ask for what it needs, but it gets what it needs most of the time, thank God. Do you remember once they did that thing in one of the countries, I can't remember which one it was, where they, in an orphanage, they had babies and they wrapped them up and all they did was they did feed them, but they didn't touch them when they were feeding them, and they did change their nappy, but they didn't look them in the eye or give them any interaction at all, and all of those babies died and none of them thrived into adults as they should do. Well, do you know what? We're the same. We're just big babies. Yeah, we're big babies that we need others. We need significant others. We need help. We cannot do life on our own. And in the Bible, there are just so many stories, aren't there, of partnerships. You know, David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi, you know, Jesus and his close inner circle, and then the disciples. You know, we all need others in our lives. But sometimes we find it difficult to let others in and get help. And by the way, in this little group as well is very highly functional people usually, people that are extroverted and people. But what's happening is they're getting their needs met by meeting the needs of others, helping loads of people, but then leaving themselves till last. And then so they'll go out and make these connections and help others. But then when they're here in this space by their own, they're not getting what they needed. Well, that's not right either. A true connection is where it's a mutual relationship where you're giving and you're receiving. You're giving and you're receiving. When you're down, I'm going to help you up. When I'm down, I'm going to help you up. Because life is like that, isn't it? We have unexpected turns in the road and we don't know. But what we do know, I'll tell you what, the difference between who's going to thrive and who isn't is the power of your connections. How deep your relationship is with God. How deep your relationship is with others. And I know that because I've experienced that myself. Okay, so what we want to do, we then feel really guilty here. So we go back here and we're eating and drinking on our own and doing all sorts of things by ourselves and hiding from the world because we just feel so bad about ourselves. But then, you know, we think, well, this will do. We can't. So we're in a perpetual state of just going round and round in circles in here. But then, you know, what about this corner four? What about this true connection? Well, there is actually only one way, and I'm going to draw a door here. There's only one way that we can really experience true connection. And And we know that that way is Jesus Christ, right? Because our primary connection that we need to make is our connection with God, okay? Because me, myself, I, and you, yourself, you can't do it by yourself. And the power of connection, the power of connecting to God, the power that is in Jesus Christ that we've been singing about, to raise the broken to life. So the remedy for all this is found through this one person, Jesus. But you know, he doesn't come flooding into our lives uninvited. The door, it's on our side. We have to open up. But do you know what we have to do? We have to admit our need for a savior. We have to admit that we cannot fix ourselves. We have to admit. So that's our first true connection is with God. But then we need connections with significant others. So people that we can go to who just get us, who love us, are for us, think the best of us, that can speak the truth to us even, you know. So it's not all, oh, I love you and isn't it great? It's like, hey, Sarah, do you know what? I think you're doing this because of this. So have you explored that? You know, I really value the people in my life that have spoken into my life. I'm just going to, you know, take a moment just to go through some of that, some of my experience, and I just think, have a little think of the significant others in your life. Now, yes, there will be significant others that have damaged you, that have wounded you, that have hurt you, that have made you broken. You know, you may be someone, we've all hurt someone else. Let's not pretend that it's everyone else and not us. We've all hurt others too. But so how do we get to this place? Significant others will help us. I remember the first time I came here, actually 19 years ago this month. Can you believe that, David? 19 years ago. And when I walked through, there was an old guy on the door that I got to know whose name was Jack. And he gave me the best smile. I was broken. I was all over the place, okay? I was what you would call a right royal mess, right? You know that, don't you, David? You knew me back then. But you know, I'm not a mess anymore. Well, not as much as a mess, okay? Because none of us are the finished article. But when I came through that door, the guy there was called Jack Heyman. Every week, he gave me such a smile. And he looked me in my eyes when he used to say things to me. And I knew he made me feel good about myself. Because I didn't feel good about myself. I felt abandoned. I felt rejected. I felt so unloved. I felt that I wasn't going to be accepted. But you know, so there was Jack. Then I come in and there wasn't any room the first time I came here. It was already started, hands up, it was all going on. There was no room. So John and Sam, I sat next to you the first time I came to. They made room for me and I sat over there, okay, crying my eyes out. And now I know they were probably thinking, oh gosh, who's this mess that's just walked in? I'm sure you didn't, but do you know what I'm saying? I was one of them. I was one of them that were kind of like, come to church through the week as well. There's nothing wrong in that, by the way. There's come, because there were people here that made me feel good about myself, because they'd look me in the eye and they'd say lovely things. There was Jenny, there was Shelley, then I met Rachel and we became best friends, and then they used to come around my house and we used to share food, and it took years. You know, I'm talking about 19 years ago. It took years and years and years for me to, but what it was is I'd walked into a true connection with Jesus. Because you see, I'd known him before, but I'd kind of walked away from him. Yeah, I was like all the way over here. I was like all the way over here. Actually, it's not such a mess anymore, guys. Well done. But you know, with the mess, I was over here hiding in my little house with my kids, thinking that I was doomed. But then, do you know what? Do you notice that I come over here a lot? I've purposefully not done it much up until now, because every time when I'm up here, I walk over here, because this is where baptisms take place. This is where we experience people experiencing new life in Christ. And I walk over here because for me, this represents the living water. So sometimes when I feel vulnerable, because let's face it, we need to own our vulnerability to get here and to get into true connection. We need to be able to speak about the things that make us vulnerable. Yeah, because here, actually, you're really exposed here, because you stood here, you know, you've shown up, you know, you've got your flip-flops on. Sorry, guys, my shoes just are really hurting me lately. You know, you show up and all eyes are on you. Now, you know, when I'm saying this, I'm talking about life, right? But I'm just using this as me. And you show up and you feel really vulnerable. But do you know what? When you feel like that, own it. And the first person that you can own it with, who will never hurt you, will never let you down, is Jesus. So I go walking over here, and I'm like, oh gosh, thank God for Jesus. I don't have to care anymore about what these lot think of me. Because Jesus, you absolutely love me to bits. You love me so much that you died for me. Oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. I'm okay, I'm good to go. Okay? So where are you? I just want to ask, where are you this morning? Where are you with your connection with God? Are you really connected with him? Because you see, the relationship bit comes from God. He provided the relationship through Jesus Christ. He's done that. But where are you in your fellowship with him? Because you know what? If we're not constantly coming back to this place of true connection, but also with others, there are people that, you know, I can go to. So David and Veronica, it was at first. Veronica would be in the office and I'd come in, because every time I went in there, she just was so lovely to me. She made me feel great. But not only was she lovely to me in the office, she invited me to her home where David was. And then I met Joe when I was serving on family time, and I became part of the family. And then Caroline, actually, I didn't really, you're back there. You're hiding, girlfriend. You're at the back, aren't you? Yeah, okay. So basically, we were basically, you know, they invited me in. Then I met Caroline, actually was the last one in the family that I got to meet. And now our relationship is, you know, we have a strong friendship. I call it a divine partnership, where we've worked together. You know, we kind of like, that was the she bit that kind of cemented that. And when Veronica was ill, you know, but we've been there for each other. We've had to, you know, like any relationship, we've had things that we've had to discuss and talk through. But Caroline is for me. I know that. She loves me and I her. And so we continue and we encourage each other, because do you know what? We need encouragement, and it doesn't take much, you know. It really doesn't take much. You know, the broken people out there, the others, some of the others that perhaps are a little bit more broken than us, they need us who know Jesus, who've already made this true connection. They need us. And you know what? They don't really need that much. I didn't need that much. A smile from an old guy on the door. And it made me feel different about myself. And then walking through this through years, it just, all that stuff gets mended. It gets mended, and you can be who you were created to be. I remember the first time I stood up here. Do you remember that, David? Some of you will remember, but it was a long time ago. Because I felt that God had said something at a conference that I was at that needed to be shared here. So what did I do? I went and saw David to tell him so that he could tell everybody. And he said, well, you must tell everybody. And I was like, what? He said, yes, you must. I said, I can't. He said, well, I think you must. If God's given you the message, then you must. And it's really odd, because this morning, while I was getting ready, I felt just like I did on the day where I had to just say something. And you know what? It was 2 minutes. It was 2 minutes where I came up and shared something. But this morning, I went through the feelings that I went through that day, and I've never forgotten it. So I was brushing my teeth this morning and remembering, and I started feeling really afraid, because when I did that for the first time, I my mouth went so dry. I didn't look at anyone. I can look you in the eye now, you know. I'm not scared of you, okay? I didn't look at anyone. I hadn't slept for about 3 days and I hadn't eaten. And my daughter, my eldest daughter, she was what, 12 at the time? Maybe younger. She just said, Mum, what on earth is wrong with you? I said, oh, I've got to say something in church this morning. I'm absolutely petrified. And I was crying. And my daughter, she said to me, Mum, be strong. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can be strong. I mean, I wasn't. I've got to tell you, I wasn't. But you know what? The power of the other to encourage you to do what God has called you to do. And you know what? He hasn't finished with me. I know there's more that he wants for me to do. And I know the best is yet to come. But you know what? He hasn't finished with you either. So I don't know where you are this morning in these, but wherever you are, check this out. Where are you in your true connection? So just before we finish, what time is it? Can someone tell me the time? I can't see it, right? Oh, thank you so much, the power of the other. It's 12 o'clock, so I need to wrap it up. So, the application of this is that you need to ask yourself, where are you? Do you need some significant others where you can make a true connection? Is there some stuff that you're doing here that you know isn't doing you any good, but you're kind of like going round in circles and you're a bit sick of it, actually. I think some of you are really sick of it, about going round in circles, stuck in a rut, nothing ever changing. Well, here you go. Go through this door, through Jesus Christ, into true connection, where you can be connected up with someone who loves you, someone who thinks the best of you, someone who died for you. You're not going to get that anywhere else, really. Someone who died for you, who wants you to be in relationship with him first. He instigated that. You know, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. God will take care of us. He will take care of us. And if we ask him, he will put us in right relationships. But do you know what? Sometimes he'll put us in right relationships even when we're not looking. It just so happened that the right people came along. But that will happen, actually, when we're in community with one another in the body of Christ. We need to keep coming. We need to keep being around one another. We need to keep encouraging each other. And then not only each other, but we extend that to those that we know outside of this connected place. We need to connect others. We need to bring others in so that they can be on the vine, that they can remain in Christ, that they can remain in him, that they can find out who they really are. That's what we need to do, guys. I am aware that we probably need some prayer this morning, some people, you know, maybe even all of us. If you've disconnected from God, you felt yourself withdrawing from God, sometimes in significant relationships, sometimes those relationships can pull us away from God. And actually, one of the indicators of having a true connection with someone is that person bringing me closer to God? Or am I getting further and further away? Am I kind of like going back over here because of this relationship? Because actually, it's not a good relationship, and it's not a God-ordained relationship. Okay, I'm going to finish because I want everyone to finish earlier today. And I think I've said enough, but can we just pray? Can I just pray? Yeah. Father, what a week. What a couple of weeks, Lord, of preparation for this, and the way that you've woven things into my heart and into my thought, and where I've seen the power of the other in operation. Father, I've seen the power of the other in operation in terms of in the wrong way, in the way that you didn't intend, where, you know, people are being hurt by other people. But usually hurt people, and it's because they're broken themselves. So, Father, for all the brokenness that's in this room, Lord, because we know we're all broken, for all the brokenness, Lord, will you show us what we need to do? If we need to reconnect with you today, Father, then I thank you, Jesus, that you've provided that way for us. If you've never connected to God before through Jesus Christ, then, you know, I strongly urge you, I exhort you, I encourage you to do so, because it will transform your life. If you're not experiencing life in all its fullness, then you're not experiencing life as God intended it to be for you. And Father, if there's things that we need help with, we just need to own the stuff, our vulnerabilities, we need help, then I pray, Lord, that we would seek out a trusted, safe, significant other to share with. Because it's when we're vulnerable and admit that we need help, that's when the help comes. It's your grace, it's your mercy and your love. And Father, then help us to be the significant other in someone else's life, where we lift them up when they've fallen down, where we lead them, not to us as such, we're just the vessel, as we're going to sing about, but just that we lead them to you, Lord, where they find their true home. Because that corner four, that's home. That's where we want to be. When we're driving around and we've been somewhere and we just want to get home, we've got that button, well, I do, pre-done, just go home. And I can come home, Lord. I can come home to you and I can be in your presence and I know that I'm okay. And then that gives me confidence and courage to go out and conduct all the relationships that you've blessed me with in my life, Father. Help us to be open vessels of true connection. In your name, Jesus. Amen.